Taken from the book Ecclesiastes. And in your pew Bible, you will find out on page 662, Ecclesiastes 7. I will read with you the first 14 verses. Let's listen to the word of God. A good name is better than fine perfume. The day of death better than the day of birth. It is better to go to a house of mourning than to go to a house of feasting, for death is the destiny of every man. The living should take this to heart. Sorrow is better than laughter, because a sad face is good for the heart. The heart of the wise is in the house of mourning, but the heart of fools is in the house of pleasure. It is better to heed a wise man's rebuke than to listen to the song of fools. Like the crackling of thorns under the pot, so is the laughter of fools. This too is meaningless. Extortion turns a wise man into a fool, and a bribe corrupts his heart. The end of a matter is better than its beginning, and patience is better than pride. Do not be quickly provoked in your spirit, for anger resides in the lap of fools. Do not say, "Why were the old days better than these?" For it is not wise to ask such questions. Wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. Wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter, but the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessor. Consider what God has done. Who can straighten what he has made crooked? When times are good, be happy, but when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. And our text, if you will, for this last Sunday, you find in the first part of verse 8, the end of a matter is better than its beginning. Dear people of God, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, we've come to the last Sunday of the year of our Lord 2019, and it also is our congregation's New Year's Eve celebration. And that often tends to be a time of introspection and reflection as time keeps rolling along. And time is a funny thing. Only consider this. With joy, children become bigger and older, and they feel that with every passing year, they will have more input. Life will give them more and more chances. They can expect more and more. They can't wait for maybe first time driving the family car or that first date. They wouldn't mind at all if time would just hurry up and speed up a little bit. Older folks sometimes want to just hang on to time a bit, and they derive some satisfaction from the fact that the average lifespan, life expectancy is going up and up, and that people today have an excellent chance of not only becoming 70, but 80, well, in their hearts maybe they're hoping for 90. But even statistics can't prevent that time inexorably carries on, and our existence at that time becomes more and more brittle and vulnerable. And how well we know it, this last Sunday of the year. Well, should that make us a little bit melancholy? Vaguely depressed even. I don't think so. We may be hopeful Christians. And on this last Sunday of the year, you and I may reflect also on the great day of the Lord, which is coming. And in a way, our text speaks about that day. You probably saw the theme in your bulletin, "All's well that ends well." All's well that ends well. Almost seems like an odd thing to say after we have read that endlessly sad piece of the Bible, or so it seems. I mean, when you read the words of Ecclesiastes 7, oh, it could make you ask, isn't that somber, overly pessimistic? Was the author maybe a little bit depressed or a gloom and doom prophet? I can just imagine how you would feel if a person would say to you, the day of your death is better than the day of your birth. Or, it is better to go to a house of mourning than to a house of feasting. Or, sorrow is better than laughter. You might just wonder out loud if you are still in the atmosphere, the climate of the Bible, in the presence of the God of joy and peace and hope. How can this kind of stuff be in the Bible? Maybe we should read those words along the lines of some of the expressions of Job or Jeremiah, an expression of personal despair and grief in a specific given situation, reflecting our human weakness and sin. But we have no reason to think that. We would do better to dig just a little bit deeper into the book Ecclesiastes. And when you do that, it might appear that at first the mystery deepens a bit. To your surprise, you will discover that the man who sounds like such a pessimist in our text praises life. He praises life to the sky elsewhere in this book. Like, rejoice, O young man, in your youth. Let your heart be merry. Follow the way of your heart. Follow the sight of your eyes. And that same author also says, with great emphasis, the man who said, sorrow is better than laughter, he also says, eat your bread with joy. Drink your wine with a joyful heart. I love that phrase. Enjoy life with the wife you love. And maybe when you place a few of those sayings side by side, you might really be tempted to scratch your head and say, now I really don't understand it at all anymore. How is it possible that the same person who says yes in one place seems to say no in another? In one place, praise the full enjoyment of life and all it has to offer, and in another, seemingly rejecting it. But you see, it is precisely when you have put those two things side by side, when you clearly see both sides in this strange book, Ecclesiastes, that you receive a key to understanding, the key to solving this apparent mystery. It would be foolish to think that the author contradicts himself. Take my word for it. He accepts life as a beautiful, a good gift of God. That he rejoices in it just as much as the Lord did at Cana when he changed water into wine and blessed the wedding. But it is that same Lord who changed water into wine, who also spoke these deep and serious words. What does it profit a person if they gain the entire world but lose their soul? And with all their joy, people need to remember these words also. And it is the very same point that our author is making, and that he wants to pound home, leading to all this seeming contradiction. his strong language. For people need to hear clearly things that are of lasting importance. They need to hear it clearly, otherwise it goes in one ear and out the other. And what is it that people don't want to hear? What would they like to forget as soon as possible? It is this, that we are marching towards the end. That the end is irrevocably coming closer and closer, that death waits for us all. People would maybe like to deny that fact, close their eyes to it. They would rather eat, drink, and be merry on New Year's Eve than reflect on the fact that time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all its children away. And they march toward the end with closed eyes. And that's a pretty awful reality. It was so already in the days of Ecclesiastes. It is so in our days. And so the author of this book really wants to drive it home, to pound it home, as it were, to pound on the door of the human heart. He wants to warn, and he does that in his own inimitable, unique way. He says, the day of one's death is better than the day of one's birth. What he means is that a person, by thinking about that coming day, can learn, can gain more wisdom than by thinking about their birthday, because he or she will think about things of lasting, ultimate, eternal importance. He says, a house of mourning is better than a house of merriment, a house of pleasure. What he means is the death of a loved one can draw a person closer to their Creator, to Almighty God. He says, sorrow is better than laughter. What he means is, the person who encounters sorrow begins to understand on a much deeper level that this world and its desires will pass away. And then he summarizes it all in the words of our text, the end of a thing is better than its beginning. And again, what he means is, it is better to reflect, to think about the end than the beginning. Thinking about the beginning, that is to make plans. Thinking about the end is to focus on end results. Thinking about the beginning, that is, what do I think about it? Thinking about the end, that means, what does God think about it all? The author wants to grab people by their lapels and shake them out of superficial thinking. He wants them to travel with open eyes through life to the eternal horizon. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. And we can take that to heart this last Sunday of the year. Just as surely, there will be a last night in your and my life, and a final balance sheet will be drawn up. The sum total, not of an unsure future, but of a past that has been completed, to which nothing can be added anymore, from which nothing can be subtracted anymore. Are we ready for that? Are you ready for that? Will there be a profit or a loss on the final balance sheet? Those thoughts are most appropriate for a year's ending as 2019 fades away into 2020. So, how is it now possible that the end is better than the beginning? That all is well that ends well? Is that always true? Yes, says the author of Ecclesiastes, it's always true, but only under one condition. And that one condition he highlights in verse 12, where a comparison is drawn between two ways, two paths that people can choose in life. They can seek protection in money or in wisdom. There are some people who use all their energy and time to enrich themselves. That's their goal in life, the be-all and end-all of it. other people who spend time in gaining, growing in wisdom. That is their goal in life. And the only condition for all is well that ends well is that people on their journey through life have gained, have grown in wisdom. In verse 12, the author puts it this way: wisdom is a defense as money is a defense, but the greater excellence of wisdom is that wisdom gives life to those who have it. Wisdom, what does he mean by wisdom? The entire book of Ecclesiastes points to it. One loud cry, one plea for God. Without God, life is foolishness, nonsense, vanity. With God, life has a purpose, a goal. It receives wisdom and leads to a definite end. With God, the ending is good. That is the meaning of our text. In short, with God, the ending is good always. And when you ask, how is that possible? How can I achieve that? Then I can end this rapidly closing year by pointing you one more time to Jesus Christ, whom the Bible says became for us, get this, the wisdom of God. Jesus, who says, believe in me and I will make all things well and I am with you to the end. Wisdom is this, to find life in him, life without end, to know with a quiet and serene spirit, believing in him, I have eternal life abiding in me, and neither life nor death, powers, principalities, heights, depth, or anything else in all of creation will be able to separate me from the love of God in Christ Jesus. To know that, to believe that, to confess that, is to gain a wisdom that no one can take from you. And it will lead to glory at the end. For indeed, the end of things will be better than the beginning. We may look forward ahead to the things that are yet to be. And I bring you tidings of great joy, which will be to all of God's people. There will be a wedding feast of the Lamb, new heaven and a new earth. I know when we look to the immediate future, there might be a lot to fear and little to hope. And you can make all kinds of lists of it. And preachers love to do that in sermons. You can see tensions among nations and within nations, economic disparity, violence, exploitation, and abuse creation. You can go on and on and on. There is no end to the list that could frighten you. Apocalyptic times even. Courage might fail. I prefer just to keep it simple and to think of my own life, my own shortcomings. You might think of all kinds of things. Things that could depress you at the year's end. Everything made of dust will return to dust. No one can reverse old age. But I say it again with emphasis, the end will be good and all will be well. The end of a thing is better than its beginning. For the beginning was creation, the end will be recreation. Creation was Adam and Eve walked with God. Recreation will be all their redeemed children will live forever in the presence of God. Creation was a paradise. Recreation will be a paradise with a city described in these mysterious words in the last book of the Bible. A city with streets of gold, pearly gates that stand open to receive all who would enter both day and night, and the glory and the riches of the nations will be brought into it. Creation was, people keep God's commandments. Recreation will be, they have been kept and fulfilled in Jesus Christ, my Lord, your Savior. Therefore, the end will surely be better than the beginning. And we may go on with hope and trust, seeking the wisdom of God, Jesus Christ, each day in a new year, going on in the certainty of faith that makes us sing, "We know who is our consolation, unchanging though night follow day. I know the rock, our firm foundation. You never fail, our strength, our stay. Though you may call us in the evening of lives made weary by our strife, we rest our hope for brighter morning on you, Lord of eternal life." Amen and amen. Let's bow our heads. Lord, thank you for promise and fulfillment. Thank you for knowing at the end of this year that you are with us, Emmanuel. Amen.